Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for the salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're also praying for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict each person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, make yourself real to each person. May each person understand the incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation, understanding by your stripes we were healed, would come to every boy, girl, man, and woman. And Father, they had humbled themselves before you, repented their sins, received you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, you get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church, and then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, Father, would become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're agreeing for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Father, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And Lord Jesus, your people to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the absolute full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree in Jesus' name. But also, Father, we love the Jewish people so much. We care for them. We cry out for their salvation. Father, we ask that you remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. They would understand that you, Lord Jesus Christ, you are their Messiah. You are Savior and Lord. And they'd repent and get born again from above and Holy Spirit baptized and filled. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father, according to your word. We agree they have title deed to all the land of Canaan, Father. Restore it to them. And Father, show Donald Trump and everyone there's never to be a two-state solution. That is an abomination in your sight. So, Father, let that never happen. And if anyone tries to harm the nation of Israel, Jewish people, stop them. And if they persist in their evil, destroy them. And we agree for that right now in Jesus' name. Father, we're so thankful for your servant, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Father, they are an answered prayer. We pray for them and all their cabinet appointees, past, present, future, and their family members. Again, salvation for each and every one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, each one of them growing in the Lord. And Father, may they make all their decisions according to the word of God and according to our Constitution. And we agree for that also. And Father God, continue to show Donald Trump and his administration favor with your angelic host to expose and drive out of this country every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker. All who have come into America to do evil will be brought into the light, and you'd be driven out of here, of America, to come in no more, in Jesus' name. We also agree together, Father, we ask you to completely destroy and annihilate any and all monkeypox virus, any bird flu virus, all the viruses they try to create in those bio labs. Destroy the viruses. Father, destroy and burn down the bio labs. And Father, destroy completely every vaccination that is being created to destroy, maim, and harm your people. And we agree for that right now. Also, Father, we agree together there'll be no centralized digital currency until after the rapture of the church. And until that time, Father, dollar bills and cash will be strong. We thank you for that right now. So thank you, Father, for answering this prayer. And thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to be talking today about operating by faith. You know, the Bible says it over and over again, the just shall live by faith. Are you the just? Have you been born again? If not, let's do that, okay? But first of all, let's have our message, and then at the end we'll give you an opportunity to get saved. Mark 9:14. And when he came unto his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit." Now a dumb spirit can be is a demonic spirit that affects the speech, hearing, or seeing, or can be all three, I suppose. "And wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." You know, what would the medical doctors said about this person? What would the psychologist have said about this person? You're right, they would be wrong. Okay. "And I spoke to thy disciples, and that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I endure with you? Bring him unto me." Now we're talking about faith. You know, the disciples did a lot of great things. The Bible tells us they did. But they messed up on this assignment. Why did they mess up? Their faith was not what it should have been for this situation. Maybe because this kid was so messed up and flailing around all these things, they got scared. They got intimidated. You know, the devil will try to intimidate you. And Jesus makes it quite clear that they were demons. Do you understand that? You know, there are a lot of things, you know, you can't counsel or medicate a demon out of you. You just want to keep that in mind. Okay. But anyway, they didn't, by faith, do what Jesus had empowered them to do and given them authority to do. They messed up this time with their faith. But let's continue. "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." Remember what we know about the devil? He steals, kills, and destroys. If anything's stealing, killing, and destroying in your life, that is the devil. "And he asked his father, how long ago is it since he came unto him? And he said, from a child." You know, probably the best ministry I've ever learned and grown under would be Derek Prince. And he said, from his vast experience, of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord, that most demon problems start in a child before the age or by the age of six. Well, you say, that doesn't sound right. That's not fair. The devil does not play fair. And see, that's why we know and understand, parents, while your children are in your home, you're responsible for their spiritual protection, to pray over them, to make sure the devil can't do those wicked things in their life, which means you got to be born again, spirit-filled, and again, praying for your kids. So, happened since a child, okay? Continue. "And often it has cast him into the fire," nasty devil, "and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, okay, now, Jesus is talking to you too. This is just a truth of the Word of God. Mark 9:23. You might want to mark it in your Bible because it's still true today. "If thou canst believe," that's faith, right? Have faith. "If thou canst believe, have faith." Jesus says, "All things are possible to him that believeth, has faith." Now, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. He's the Messiah. He's our Savior and Lord, deliverer and healer. When he says something, it's absolute truth. So Jesus is telling you there's nothing too hard for him if you have faith in him. So be encouraged. You got some big problems? It's not too hard. All things are possible. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And again, he probably had some unbelief because the disciples, who he thought could do it, didn't do it, okay? "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit." That's what you do with devils. "Saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." That's a thing to remember when you're casting out a demon. You command it never to come back again in Jesus' name. And you need to tell the person they need to walk out their freedom and not go back into the things that open the door for that devil to be there. That's important. Okay. And the spirit cried and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he was like one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind," or is that kind of devil? Must have been kind of a powerful devil, okay? "Can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Okay. They weren't prayed up like they should be. You better have a prayer life if you're going to cast out demons. You better have a prayer life, period, because it's through prayer you're talking to God the Father, Jesus, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you better have a prayer life. But you need to be prayed up when you start casting out demons, right? That just makes sense. Now we're talking about operating by faith. Well, let's just go back to the first truth about faith. You really don't have any faith until you get born again. Understand the truth of God's word. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace," that means God's unmerited favor, "are you saved," that means born again, become a Christian, "through faith," again, it's faith in Jesus, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is free." Did you know that? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So, the first act of faith you do is when you've heard the gospel, you come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you see that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is, you realize you're a sinner, lost indeed, and you need Jesus, and then with the power of the Holy Spirit, God allows you, and you repent, and you invite Jesus. Your first act of faith, you put your faith in him and receive him as Savior and Lord. Let me back that up with the word, Romans 10:9-10, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," that means Jesus Christ is Lord, "and shall believe in thine heart," your inner being, your spirit, "that God hath raised him," that's Jesus Christ, "from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Yes, it always works. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness," right standing with God, "and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we see already right now that faith is expressed through prayer and what words you speak. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So you enter into the Christian life by repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And he supernaturally, you become born again from above. And that spirit man, remember we're spirit, soul, and body. That spirit man in you that was dead is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You become a new creation in Christ. Jesus comes to live in you, and you have the Holy Spirit. Bam. Now you can live the Christian life. See, a lot of people are trying to clean up their life. Nothing wrong with that. And do good and not do things as bad as they would, and think that's going to get them to heaven. You'll go straight to hell because you've already been dirty and nasty and vile. And you can't live the Christian life without Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Stop it. You got to get saved, and then once you're born again, now you can enter and walk out the Christian life. Does that make sense? Don't try to be a Christian without being a Christian. In fact, we talk about the Christian life, about the walk of faith. We're talking about that today. Colossians 2:6, the Bible tells us, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." I like the word received. You know, if I was talking to you and I didn't know if you're a Christian, I might say this: have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If you answer no, well, I want to tell you about Jesus so you can get saved. And if you have, I rejoice with you, and you're a brother or sister in Christ, and we probably want to talk about the Lord a little bit, right? "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him." Okay, so how did I receive Jesus? I repented of my sins, and I received Jesus, put my faith in him. Well, that's how you live the Christian life. When you sin, and Christians do sin, you repent of those sins, and you continue to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But again, it's a relationship, so you got to grow. That's why we see in verse 7, it says, rooted and built up in Him. You see, you spend time in the Word. You spend time in prayer. You get to know Jesus more and better. When you got saved, you just met Him. You really didn't know much about Jesus other than you knew He wanted to save you and you wanted to get saved, right? So now you begin that love relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. Rooted and built up in Him, that means you get strong and established in the faith. Not talking about faith in Jesus, but the faith talking about the Bible, which is the word of truth. Remember, the Bible is completely, totally true. And if your pastor is saying there's mistakes in the Bible, get out of that church. You're in a cult, you're in an ism, you're in a false religion, and you need to get out. Rooted and built up Him and established in the faith, that's a body of truth that makes up the Bible, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. And again, God always gives warnings. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, things they might try to teach you in school, grade school, junior high school, college. Anything that disagrees with the Word of God is a lie. Evolution is a lie from the pit of hell. You understand that, okay? If you're born again, Spirit-filled, you know that, but some people don't, haven't studied the Bible. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't let anybody move you away from the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So, now the good news is about our faith, the Christian life. We also see this revelation in Romans 12:3, but I want to go ahead and start with Romans 12:1. He's talking to people who are already saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. They're brethren, that means they're saints. They're born again ones. They've already gotten saved. Paul's writing, God's speaking through Paul to the Christians. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Maybe you didn't learn that. Well, I've got saved. I'm born again. Well, why is he telling Christians to present their bodies a living sacrifice? They already did that when they got saved. Well, that's true. If you really got saved, you asked Jesus to be Savior and Lord of your life. Well, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil. So it's just a good thing to daily consecrate yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm yours. You're mine. Lord, what are we going to do today? In other words, fresh and new, Jesus, you're Lord of my life, spirit, soul, and body. That's a good thing to do, daily consecration. You only get saved once, but you can consecrate yourself to God every day. Present yourself to Him. Lord Jesus, here I am today. What are we going to do today? Amen? Okay. And be not conformed to this world. That's a challenge because the TV, the radio, the fake news. Do you realize millions of people during the Biden administration believed the things that they said and they lived and believed a lie? I hope they didn't die. It's a terrible thing to die believing and living a lie. What a terrible thing. And be not conformed to this world system, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that take place? As you pray. As you study God's word, your mind is renewed to what actual truth is, and the truth is whatever God says in His word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, and that means prove by experience in your daily life, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So every day we're to wake up, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. I present myself to you. I'm your servant. What are we going to do today? And you study God's word and you everything you listen to, you if it's not according to the word of God and truth, you don't accept, you reject it. And, you know, God will, in these last days, you better have discernment. There are a lot of Christians being duped because they don't know the word of God. It's sad to say they've gone to a church that says the Bible is allegorical and you can't really believe what God says and you can make the Bible say anything you want it to. Oh, those are wolves taking them and their goats to hell. Isn't that sad? Let that not be you. But here's good news, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, and remember, you just don't get grace to get saved. You have grace daily being poured out upon you through the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. Boy, that's good news. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more haughty than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man, here it is, the measure of faith. So every one of us, when we got born again, God imparted to us a measure of faith. I believe that measure of faith, if cultivated and walked in, will allow you to live a successful, victorious Christian life and deal with every situation, trial, and circumstance you will ever face. Now, again, say not what your neighbor faces, but what you're going to face. Every one of us has a measure of faith. Operate in that measure of faith. And if you're going to do that, here's a key. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember Hebrews 12:2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, practice his presence. Now let's talk for a few minutes about exercising our faith. Once you get saved, you got to learn how to exercise. Remember, I don't know about you, I exercise. Exercise makes me stronger physically. That God requires me to work out. Does he require you to work out? Because you got to have a healthy body if you're going to finish the work he's called you to do. But you have to exercise spiritually. Here's a good example of we find about exercising spiritually. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering and saith unto them, have faith in God, literally have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, again Jesus Christ speaking, whosoever, you know, I don't know you and you don't know me, but you are whosoever. So, good news. Whosoever shall say, that means you open your mouth, right? Unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And that's where the devil gets many people. Doubt, self-doubt. Unbelief, double-mindedness, okay? Fear, okay? You're going to have to deal with those things. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, so faith causes you to open your mouth and speak, shall come, whatsoever things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then here's verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus Christ, whatever things you desire, what do you desire? When you pray. So, Christians pray. Faith is exercised through prayer, speaking. Okay. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, have faith that you receive them now, and you shall have them in the process of time, sometime instantly. Sometimes it takes a while, but you will receive that which you by faith have asked and believed the Lord for. So we see learning to exercise our faith means we open our mouth and we pray and talk to Jesus and we say and we speak to him. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to keep your faith strong, you need to know what God says. You see, how do you know what God will give you and what God will help you with if you don't read the Bible and find out what he promises you in his word? Do you know there's thousands of promises in the word of God, but you're going to have to read them, search it out, and then you and your life circumstances are going to have to take those promises of God and stand on them for what things you're believing for or through the trials you're going to go through. You have to stand on the promises of God by faith in prayer. You've got to open your mouth. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So you're learning and growing how to exercise your faith. Another good news, I can tell right now I'm not going to get through everything. But Jesus says this also, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Which Jesus said means everyone on planet Earth needs to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And if anybody's not preaching Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's a false religion, it's a cult, it's an ism, don't believe them. Because everyone in the world needs Jesus. Okay. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What's the first thing you do once you get born again? You get baptized, right? But he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, that means you go to hell. Now, pick up on this. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe. What does believe mean? Have faith. So Jesus says, signs follow faith. Right? Before I even go on, let's establish that. And these signs shall follow those who believe, who have faith. So Jesus says, signs follow people who are walking in faith. Oh, well, I want to know more about that. Let's continue. In my name, Jesus gives you the authority to use his name. They shall cast out demons. So not just Jesus and the 12 and the 70 cast out demons. You're supposed to do that too. You're going to have to learn and grow, aren't you? They shall speak with new tongues. You know, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive a marvelous prayer language. And you seem to be more open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit after receiving the baptism also. They shall take up serpents. Something tries to attack you, you got authority over it. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You better be standing on that when you eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Ah, so healing is for today. Miracles are for today. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in James 5, about anointing people with oil. God still heals today. And he wants to use you to heal people. You say, well, I can't heal anyone. You can't heal anyone. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You didn't read what Jesus says. These signs follow those who have faith, who are Christians, use my name, lay hands on the sick, and yes, I'm healing them, but I'm working through you. He's working through me. Jesus works with people. Do you understand that? Gifts of the Holy Spirit operate through people to get saved, discipled, delivered, healed, made whole. Oh, that is such good news. And as you read God's word, your faith will be increased. And then as you begin to practice the things you're learning, you get stronger in the faith. And number one, you're pleasing God. And he'll bless you for that, not only in this life, but in eternity in heaven. Isn't that very exciting? So we're learning how to what? Operate by faith. You got to get saved. You got to begin walking the Christian life by faith. You've got to learn how to exercise your faith and practice your faith. You will go stronger as you, by faith, open your mouth, standing on the promises of God, and do exactly what God tells you to do. But you got to get saved. Are you born again? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If not, let's pray together. Dear God, I see it. I understand that I'm a sinner. I believe that you, Lord Jesus, died for my sins and rose again, and I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. I repent of all my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart and spirit, and please be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.